Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. If you have been born again, according to John 3:5, then old things should have passed away, and all things should become new. Amen. John 3, verse 5 and 6, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Lord, right now we thank you for your word here tonight. And I just pray, God, that you anoint your servant to speak your word. Anoint every heart, every ear here tonight. God, help us, Lord, to take this, Lord, and live it and apply it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. You can be seated. The difference in the flesh and the spirit is the flesh lusts for the things of the world, and it follows after the things of the enemy, Satan. The spirit obeys the voice of God, and it desires the things of God. If you were born again, you should have been transformed to a new life, losing those old desires, separating ourselves from worldliness to a spiritual walk with God. Paul wrote to the church of Galatia in Galatians 5:16-26, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot," hear me, "so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy and one another." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The scripture does say, folks, if any man be in Christ, that is saying that if you are truly born again, there will be a noticeable change in your lifestyle. To be a Christian means that we take on the likeness of Christ, that we do not let sin reign in our bodies. Romans 6:12-17, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. It's in other words, born again, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under the grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart and from the doctrine which was delivered you. If you obey the word of God, if you obey the word of God, then you are born again. If you don't obey the word of God, then you are still a sinner. You see, if a person claims to be born again and their spirit and their attitude has not changed, if their desires are not toward glorifying God, chances are they have not been born again. You see, Peter and the apostles were followers of Christ. but they were not born again. They were in training. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They were not born again until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Being filled with the Spirit, folks, made a difference in their life. And Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That word converted means to change something into another form, substance, state, or product, or transform. To change something from one use, function, or purpose to another. Adapt to a new, different purpose. It means to be different. If you claim to be converted to Christianity, then you haven't changed, then you have been deceived. In Luke 22:31-34, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Notice his next statement, folks. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now there's a lot of people that say the same thing, but folks, their faithfulness to God on earth proves to be different. Amen. Peter said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go to prison and to death. And then verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. See, God knows. God knows us, doesn't he? Amen. You see, Peter made this confession that he was willing to die if necessary to prove his devotion to Jesus Christ. Peter spoke one thing, but he did something entirely different. Acts 3:19, repent and therefore and be converted, meaning to be born again, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's easy to say I am saved, but proving with a changed lifestyle is another thing altogether different. If you're willing to keep God's commandments, you haven't been born again. Proverbs 7:2-3, keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of mine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tab of thine heart. Proverbs 8:32-36. Therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse not. You see, people will hear instructions, but they don't want to follow it. Hear instructions and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death. John 8:51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never see death. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said in John 14:24, he that loves me not keeps my sayings. And the word which ye hear in is not mine, but the Father's which is sent me. You see, the ones that was told by Jesus to go to Jerusalem, and he said, go there and tarry there. But they meant that they were to stay there until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, go tarry there. They went, they stayed, and they were filled like Jesus promised. There were probably many that were there also told to go and who decided, well, it's not worth the wait. Or they were too busy. Or they had some other kind of excuse, but the ones that went there and waited like he told them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It was worth the wait. Amen. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Which part of the scripture I do not a part of your life? Which is not a part of your life. If Jesus is not the first, he cannot be the last. Amen. He is saying that the world to the church, he's saying to the word, the world and to the church, there cannot be anything between you and me. Amen. He is a jealous God. I am the first and I am the last, or I'm nothing to you. Hallelujah. What God do you have that comes before your service, the Lord Jesus Christ? What keeps you from prayer? What keeps you from the word of the Lord? What is more important to you than the house of worship? You can't say nothing is more important to me than God and then not obey him. Amen? When it comes to worship God, what keeps you from doing just that? You may say, well, the message doesn't stir me to worship God. Well, if the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost that is supposed to stir you into worship. That is true if you're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? The plain fact, folks, that the Word of God commands us to worship God because he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. It commands us to worship him. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 7, 2 and 3, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. What he's saying? He's saying to repent. Amend your ways. When you lose your desire to be in the house of the Lord, you are displeasing to the Lord. Amen. When you sit there and refuse to worship God, amen, it could be that there's too much sin in your life. Hallelujah. When you begin to make excuses to not come to the house of God and worship, amen, you fall victim and deceit of the devil. You're falling into the hands of the enemy, and he will mock you in the presence of God. You see, if God said to Satan, you have considered my servant, put your name there. Huh? What if God said, Satan, I want you to consider my servant, Bill. Satan, consider my servant, Nick. What would you say? Could you have said what Job said in Job 13, 15 through 16? Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for I am hypocrisy shall not come before him. If you lost everything today, as Job did, could you tell your family? Could you tell your friends what Job told his wife in Job 2, verse 7 and 10? So went Satan before the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores, boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him, postured and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. See, this will test further. This will test whether we love God. This is the real proof, folks, of being born again. She said, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? I love what Job said. Amen. Can we receive the good from God? Amen. Accept that. But when evil comes our way, we get upset. We want to quit doing things for God. We want to stop doing this and stop doing that. Get upset, get mad, and feel justified in what we're saying and doing. We'll do things as long as things are going well. But let it go wrong and see how quick we back away from God. Here's where many people are today. When it's good, I can worship. When it's good, I can give. When it's good, I can be obedient to God. But if God allows something to happen on my job, or to my kids, or to my finances, then God must be unjust. After all I have done, why would God allow this to happen to me? After all I've done for God. You see, people unjustly accuse God of their failures. This is not being born again. They run right back into the hands of the devil that caused the problem. And then they walk out on God. And they blame him for all their misfortunes. Let me tell you something. When you are born again, you'll not falsely accuse God for the things that happen to you. Amen? When you are truly born again, you won't make excuses why you can't be obedient to God. When you are born again, you will be willing and faithful to the things of God. Come on, folks, if everything else fails, amen, you better live for God. You better serve God with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When problems come and your finances aren't what you thought they would be or the way you'd like them to be, will you stop giving to God? When your family or you are sick, will you do what the Bible says to do in James 5, 12 and 16? But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall forgive him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effects fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Let's stand here tonight. Hallelujah. The effectual fervent prayer of someone that's born again, come on, avails to much. How about it tonight, folks? Are you born again? Are you renewed? Hallelujah. Are you sold out to this? I wonder if there's anybody here from Church of Pentecost says, I'm sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going to serve God no matter what comes my way. Hallelujah. 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 God, oh, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to serve him when it's good. I'm going to serve him when it's not so good. Amen. I'm going to serve him, hallelujah, no matter what comes my way. Come on, Church of Pentecost. This altar's open tonight. Hallelujah. Bring somebody with you. Amen. Come up here and just rededicate yourself to the Lord.